For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey, thanks for hitting play on this edition of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Happy to have you on board. Our content today, powered by Authentic Audio Productions, a podcasting service that specializes in hosting, outlining, producing, promoting, and editing. You worry about your business, we'll worry about the rest. AuthenticAudioPro.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
Try to run her over. Fouquet got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
A very special guest joining me this week on the Zoneheads Orlando podcast, a man that I look up to and listen to when I first started listening to sports talk radio in Orlando, which is a weird thing to say because I don't know how old Mike Tuck is, but it makes him sound old when I describe him like that, and he's not. I think you and I are at least close to the same age. Mike Tuck, ladies and gentlemen, does it make you feel old that I tell you that I looked up to you and listened to you when I first got to town?
A little bit. Going to a gastrointestinal doctor to set up a colonoscopy makes me feel old. I did that last week. So there are other things in life that make me feel old, but we're close. Like, our bridges are close. Like, Mark Daniels and me are like 10 years apart, but I look up to him the same way you're talking about, you know, you to me, and we're within 10 years of each other as well. So it's all relative.
It is very much so. And you now teach at Full Sail. You and I have talked about that off the air numerous times. I try and pick your brain on all things sports broadcasting as much as I can. Not just because of the knowledge that you already had, but also because of what you're now privy to with the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. So you're guiding the future sportscasters of America, and it seems like you love it. So how fulfilling has this work been for you since you stepped out of the daily grind, the hamster wheel, as I like to call it, of sports talk radio?
It's equitable to something you can relate to now. This is what I tell people. Is there's no greater joy in life than watching your child have success in things. And it's like that. They're not my kids, but to see them develop when I have them, to see them grow as broadcasters, to see them get their first job. And now we're into second jobs and even third jobs at this point, and Emmy awards that people are winning, like, that represent our program. Like, that's fulfilling. That is acknowledgement that we collectively, and I'm part of the we, did a great job in helping these people reach their dreams, just like you and I. They wanted to do something with sports. It's what draws us all here, is we want to stay attached to our childhood and what we loved and what we love doing. And they've told us at some point, for me, I always say, God didn't make me big enough or fast enough. So I wanted to do something, to do this, to be in sports. And we get to be a part of that. And it's a pretty special feeling to know you're part of someone's journey.
So I did bring you on to talk NBA free agency and what the Magic can do, and we'll definitely get to that. But since we're on the topic, this is something that I kind of grapple with as somebody in sports talk radio. I love this I love what I do for a living. I love the industry. I don't think it's dying in the way that a lot of outsiders would say that it is. People seek comfort, especially the more noise that we get and the more everybody's charging you for a subscription, that I think it opens the door for the relevancy of a free sports talk medium, whether that be through radio or podcasting. But I do wonder if there's a shelf life to it. You know, some people stick around perhaps a little bit too long. You're a good example of this. You know, I hate the phrase those who can't do teach, because it certainly doesn't apply to you. You have all the chops needed to do this for a living, but it feels to me, and you and I have never had this conversation, like you reached a point where you're like, I did it. Now I have to see what's next. And it turned out this is the door that opened. Do you look at sports media that way, that there's not for everybody, but for most of us, that there's a sort of a shelf life to it, and you feel like you've kind of said all that you have to say?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit like athletes, you know, and it's the constant churning that you brought up the wheel. Like, we love building up greatness and admiring someone's progress, and then we build them up to a level. The only thing we have left to do is tear them down. And sports media gets that way as well. And I remember thinking this, the two guys that stood out to me when I was younger were I loved and admired. And then at some point it's like, wow, why are people bashing these people and trying to, you know, besmirch them, were Chris Berman, who obviously is a pioneer for what he did at ESPN, and Dick Vitale, different format, but same sort of idea, became very famous, both of them individually. And a lot of people, I would think, gravitated toward them in the same way others today are gravitating toward the Stephen A. Smiths of the world and people like that. And then you reach a point and it's like people get tired of you. They start tuning you out. It becomes the same old for Berman, another nickname kind of thing. Or for Dick Vitale, yeah, baby, and all this other stuff.
You become a caricature of yourself.
Right.
Especially with these over-the-top characters.
I do think for some, they become so famous, it drowns out how well they've done in their career, and people don't appreciate them on the same level anymore. I don't think, you know, I'm that comp or anything like that, but I do think that there can be a shelf life even within a market, right? Where, like, I've done enough here. I want to, and sometimes it's a personal choice. You just want to do something different. For me, it was opportunity knocked. Unfortunately, my clock ran out here. What happened at ESPN Radio was unfortunate. Thankfully, 96.9 and you guys still invite me in so I can still dabble in this. But I love what I'm doing now. And it would probably take a lot to pull me back in to do it full time, because it does afford me the opportunity to have more time with my wife and my kids and vacations and that sort of a thing that I didn't otherwise have.
Yeah, you have to scratch. I actually just put up a video about this on TikTok. You have got to scratch and claw to find work-life balance in media, because you're just constantly pulled. Whether you're actually out covering a game and there's always something going on, or a press conference, or you're in the midst of a season and you work with a team, whatever it is, if it's not that, you feel like you always have to be attached to your device. And you can be in front of your family and not really with them. And daily struggles. So
I heard you and Tyler on air a few weeks ago talking about the playoffs and such. And when the Magic were eliminated, it was a sense of disappointment and yet relief. Like, you get to resume sort of a normal life. And that's what this can do to you. You love it, but it does take away of other things that you'd like to do as well.
Yeah, there is a little part of me that, like, this time of the year right now, where there's enough going on, where I'm entertained as a sports fan, I feel like I'm able to provide good enough content to my audience, and I'm spending ample time with family, where I'm like, damn, I'm getting a little too used to this. And I know that June quickly turns to July, which quickly turns to August. The next thing you know, you're in the tornado of fall. But let's turn our attention to thank you for indulging me on that. I love talking broadcasting with you. Let's talk NBA free agency. That's why I brought you here. You're a fellow hoop junkie like myself. And I think we might actually have a fun summer in front of us across the league, despite the league's best efforts. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this statement. It feels like over the last few years, between bird right rules and this new rule that was implemented where teams can negotiate with their own free agents, agents after the NBA Finals. That's how we saw Pascal Siakam get locked up already. It feels like Adam Silver is trying to take away from the summer to reinsert some interest in the regular season, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I'm noticing that summers have become less interesting, yet the season to me is becoming more interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
I think some of that is direct and obvious, like the in-season tournament, where you're clearly trying to drum up interest in your regular season. I think some of that is indirect in that when you limit the scope of free agency, when you set up a system where the Boston Celtics, now looking to repeat, can do that. But beyond that, they're stuck based on salary cap on having to break up something. You are basically saying, hey, we're going to have you focus more on winning now and in the moment and less about what you can acquire in the offseason. Because for better or worse, a lot of what media has become, we're back on media a little bit here, is we obsess about the future. We obsess about people's legacies of, you know, way before we should ever be concerning ourselves with that. We worry about impending free agents. We were monitoring LeBron and Kevin Durant and these guys a year and a half in advance of their free agency. And they're getting questions. They're like, guys, can we just talk about the game tonight? Like, not even the offseason. It's the next offseason. So I do think that a lot of the correction has been toward, hey, let's just focus on what we have in front of us here.
Which is a positive for the league, but it does take away from some of the fireworks that you see around the 4th of July. And I'm not talking about the literal ones that you get. And that was maybe the most entertaining part of the league for a few years. And a lot of that was driven by LeBron and Kevin Durant. They were the two best players in the NBA with a willingness to move on. We really don't have that right now. If we're to rank the top five players, it would be some consensus of Luka, Jokic, Tatum, Giannis, Embiid. I didn't say a name that you feel like is trying to jump from their city to another. And I think maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah. We've definitely gotten to a point where a lot of the guys we're talking about moving, we're going to talk about free agency, are guys in their mid 30s, guys that are past their peak. And either we've stopped caring about them or, you know, there's little interest in what they're going to do with a championship because of what they've done to this point in their career.
Yeah, so Clay and Paul George are two that you're alluding to here, because the biggest names in free agency, we just assume. Okay, let me get this out of the way first. Tyrese Maxey, LeBron James, Pascal Siakam was another one. Okay, he's already signed. So these guys aren't going anywhere. So, okay, free agents, they should be mentioned because they're part of the conversation, but they're not going anywhere. Okay, so let's move on then to Klay Thompson and Paul George, who might actually be moving on. And the Magic might actually be a candidate to acquire one or the other. I highly doubt both would be coming here, although the Magic do have a lot of cap space to work with. What do you think the chances are that the Magic go big game hunting with either one of these names? Or is it too eye on the stars for this franchise that has been so calculated with their movements over the last few years?
Well, I think that's a good word, because I do think, and you know them well in that front office, if they do decide that Paul George is the target or that Klay Thompson's the target, then they've calculated that that's the piece that they think is going to help formulate what is an Eastern Conference title contender, because they're confident that Paolo is that guy and will continue to evolve into a guy that becomes part of an all-NBA kind of a conversation starting next year, frankly, that Franz will take another leap, and that, you know, obviously Jalen Suggs, I think we're still in the air a little bit, but we're hopeful because at least he built on his previous season this past season. So I do think that they would be calculated in going after those guys, but it's worth questioning from our point of view, if that's the correct calculation, because the shelf life is going to be really small with those guys. What they have left to give, I think Paul George has more to give right now for potentially two or three seasons at a subservient level to the superstar. Klay just feels like a hyped up role player who has had a Hall of Fame career at this stage. Now, it fits, right? Like, we know,
perfectly.
Like,
what it really they does. Need
to shooting, so it would fit. It's a large part of his choice, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, it's either he takes less probably to stay with the organization that may put a statue up for him one day, or he decides to pursue winning elsewhere or money elsewhere with the hope that he wins.
So I saw Orlando Muse on Twitter, which does such a great job with stats throughout the course of the season, put this one up about Klay Thompson. 268 made threes last year. He shot at a clip, if you want to round up, at 39% from three-point range, that the Magic would just kill for somebody that could shoot threes like that, to the point that that would actually be a franchise record for the Orlando Magic, what Klay Thompson did just last year. A washed version, if that's what we're calling him, of Klay Thompson. As long as he were willing to take that back seat, doesn't come here thinking, hey, I'm the most famous person on this team. It's my team now. You know, And I don't think he lacks that level of awareness, but you got him at the right price. He still has enough game left, as long as you understand. You're not getting prime Clay, you're getting this Clay, but it is exactly what they need. It's not going to fix everything, but it fixes a very glaring hole for them. So I find myself selling myself on Clay.
Yeah, I think the evaluation there is, does he's going to bring something to the table, but because of the price you have to pay him, are you going to have enough to build out the rest of the roster in a way that if next year isn't the championship year, and to be fair, it probably would be presumptuous to assume they could make that kind of a jump next year, are you going to get enough out of them in 2 years or 3 years from now when that window maybe is open, that financially it works and you can have the rest of the pieces in place to win?
Yeah, I guess it all comes down to what kind of leap does Paolo take? Because if he becomes an all-NBA guy, maybe you change the conversation about what this team can accomplish. But you bring up a good point. It's not just about adding a player. It's about, what is your goal? Are you trying to – are you – and they'll never say this out loud, but behind closed doors is the front office saying, we can push to the Eastern Conference Finals if we add this piece. Mm-hmm. But then why not add a piece, if you can, that takes you to the next round? And Klay Thompson probably isn't that guy.
I think it's interesting because you look at the Celtics right now, and you had a great conversation the other day with your guy from Spot Rack about this on air, about the Derek White thing, right? And to me, it's an easy decision. Is you have a chance to repeat, you bring everybody back, Al Horford's coming back, you try to repeat. I don't think you try to jump ahead of it. But beyond that, you're going to have to get creative to keep it together. And where I'm going with this is the way the salary cap is set up now with all the aprons and the money you have to pay back and what it's going to cost owners is you have to have more of a short-sighted view of it. You can't have this long view of, we're going to string together five straight NBA finals, right? That's what the Warriors did, even in our recent memory, is probably unrealistic to think it's going to happen unless you just get Wimby, and maybe Wimby could be the exception if they build it quickly, that he evolves into a star so fast, you're paying him nothing and you're great around him. They're going to quickly have to pay Paolo and Franz, so you're not going to have the ability to make these adjustments as
it's a 2-year window. That's right. I've talked to Mike Jannetty and Bobby Marks from ESPN about it. And they've laid it out exactly like that. They have 2 years. They basically have this cash that they've been saving that is going to evaporate in 2 years. You got to use it. But how do you use it? That becomes the question.
And that brings you to the other part of the conversation. If it's not those two guys, it's worth bringing up James Harden's name. I don't think James would ever come here, but he actually would be a good fit based on what he does on the basketball floor, as much as people don't like him. Then how do you divide it then? Right. Cause you got to spend the money, and that's where it takes you to the next conversation of getting two guys, right? Two guys that can split all that money and do two different roles for you, whether it be point guard and shooting guard, or literally bench scorer and starting guard, or whatever it's going to amount to be.
Okay. Well, and I'm going to mention a couple of names, and you can just say yes or no. Feel free to expound if you want to, you don't have to, I got a bunch of names here. Yeah. Malik Monk.
Love him. I think he'd be a perfect fit. You know, you're not going to spend all that money on him, but he showed the tail end of his Lakers time and then into this Sacramento time. You know, guys evolve later now because they're coming into the league younger. And he's one of those guys that has evolved a little bit later. He's the perfect sort of, whether he's a sixth man deluxe or a starting shooting guard who becomes like your third offensive option on a lot of nights. I think that's what he is.
Yeah, and that spark plug that you need when the offense dies, I think he could be that guy. That's been a big problem for the Magic. He actually, for me, he's at the top of the list. I think with the Cavs firing Bickerstaff, Donovan Mitchell's probably off the table. I'm assuming that is joined at the hip.
Yeah, but we're talking free agents, but Darius Garland would be at the top of the guys I'd be looking at if I'm the Magic, if he becomes available via trade.
Yep. Love his game. Right. So, I mean, Donovan, of course, I guess should mention, if we're talking free agents, he isn't one. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
That would probably mean you're spending more money on somebody else, because I think he'd come a little bit cheaper.
You're getting him. Do you think you could get KCP and Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you would be able to squeeze those two guys in.
That type of offseason, I would not scoff at that either. If you don't go big game hunting and you just go for two rock solid options that both of them fill needs. The Magic obviously need 3-point shooting and more scoring, but I think they also need some rim protection. They need some toughness in the interior. They have size. They don't have toughness.
Yeah. I was a big Hartenstein fan when he was with the Clippers, and when he just wasn't getting minutes there. And then Lord, you know, is the way it happens, like, injuries happen in New York and suddenly he's thrust into this bigger role. It's a little bit Bismack Biyombo-ish. I'm a little hesitant. And I mean that Biyombo sort of got thrust into the spotlight in Toronto in the playoffs when he had to play. And then unfortunately the Magic were the franchise that said, yes, give us some of that. That couldn't have ended worse. I'm not saying Hartenstein's that, but I am saying it's probably more hype than substance. So that wouldn't get me real excited if I'm a Magic fan. KCP is just, to me, a role player for a ready-to-win team. That's what you saw in LA and in Denver. So I'm less enthused about that because he's not going to give you much on his own. That's more like catch spot-up threes.
But he's damn good at it. What about D'Angelo Russell? He's one I go back and forth on.
Yeah, and it's because I think we've seen the worst of D'Angelo Russell, and that turns a lot of people off, right? It's the reason why a lot of people were against the Lakers bringing him back is, oh, God, we saw how that ended in the playoffs against the Nuggets. He was better this year, great this year, really. He probably had his best season in the NBA this season if you were to factor in environment and winning versus where he was on teams that weren't winning before. I think he would fill, obviously, ball handling. He's a good passer. He's an excellent shooter. Maybe a little over-aggressive at times, but that's okay. He's going to help space the floor, and you wouldn't have to have the ball in his hands. But to Paolo's point of, hey, I want to play off the ball more, he's certainly going to help you there, whereas Malik Monk's not really going to orchestrate your offense in the way that a D'Angelo Russell would. He has to opt out first of his contract. But even if he opts in, I thought last year when the Lakers were involved in trade rumors that the Magic could be a third wheel to a team that didn't want to take D'Angelo. The Magic could take him. So I still think that's on the table potentially in a side and trade.
Yeah. And that's why some of these other names, you still have to discuss them, the guys that you think could be on the trade block, because God, there's so many big moves that are made in today's NBA that have nothing to do with free agency and everything to do with trades. All right, I want to leave asking you this, non-Magic related, although the Magic could be your answer. Which team do you think gets marketably better in free agency? Next couple of weeks, we look back and go, wow, that team just shot up the board in terms of odds to win the NBA title.
That's interesting. Well, the team that would be probably most obvious is the team that the most money to spend, that's Philadelphia. They have an MVP on the roster. They're going to re-sign Maxey, and then they have all this money to spend. And if they're able to acquire a third star, which they can do because Maxey's cheap enough, obviously, even signing a new deal, and then what they do to slot around it. So if it is a Paul George or something like that, then I think Philadelphia – and look, they were really good this year. Like, you know this following the league as closely as you do. Like, they were, when at full health, the second best team in the Eastern Conference. They just weren't at full health, which slid them down the standing. So I think that's the team that might be able to take the biggest leap, depending on how free agency goes for them. And then there's a lot of really interesting ones where, you know, players getting moved around could affect it. Orlando is a fascinating one. It really is to bring it back to the Magic because they have the money and they have the young pieces. They have to make some decisions on guys on the roster. And you do wonder if even a trade, right? Like I'm in the pro be willing to trade Jonathan Isaac camp. You finally got the most games out of this guy that he's ever given you and was productive defensively in those minutes. I'm not so sure you're going to repeat that. And even that was a pretty low bar to clear for what he was. So if you have to throw him into a deal to get somebody else who you're going to trust more and is going to fit this roster a little bit better, can be a starter perhaps, as opposed to a backup to your two most important players who aren't going to give up much playing time, then like I'm more than willing to do something like that if that team believes that they can get more out of Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, you can't be overly married to anybody that's not Paolo, Franz, and I'll give you Suggs.
Yeah,
but like, other than that, you can't get too attached.
I made this point, you know, on your airwaves here, 96.9. This is back when the season concluded. Like, I'm not attached to Jalen Suggs if it means I'm going to get a big fish back. I don't want to move him. I'm not looking to move him. But if the right name comes along, then, yeah, you got to – it's Franz is the same way, right? Like, at some point, there's – I don't want to do it. And I am.
It'd have to be one hell of a fish.
Right.
Jalen Suggs is such a, it. And so much of that is I think it's a view that you could only take being in this city.
Yeah.
He means so much to these fans.
I get it.
To take him out of the equation takes a lot of the personality. I used to feel this way about Cole Anthony, and Jalen Suggs just usurped him as the most popular player on the team. And he is the heart and soul of the Kia Center.
I get it.
If you're going to move him, you better. That's a swing and don't miss type of trade.
I'm going to say two things on this. One, the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics was Marcus Smart.
Very true.
Okay. And he was a high pick the same way Marcus Smart was a high pick. It just wasn't, it finally reached the tipping point. They had to try something different. And you weren't going to move your two stars the same way the Magic don't want to move their two stars, right? I'm not saying they need to do it. I'm just saying for the right fish, you said it, the right fish, it's worth exploring. And you said, don't be married. I think that's the thing we struggle with sometimes as fans, because we prefer to watch all of our guys grow up into a championship team. That's just not the way most championship teams happen. You know, Giannis was drafted by Milwaukee. The rest of that stuff was brought in. It was. Yeah. People seem to think, oh, they were homegrown. They weren't. They traded for Middleton. They traded for Drew. They traded for Brooke Lopez. Like, the rest of that team, Bobby Portis, they brought in. They weren't homegrown. The fans celebrated the same way. They have the parade on orange. You're going to be there regardless of who isn't on the team anymore.
But it would be nice if Suggs was there too. That's all.
I get it. Look, I love Cole Anthony too, but at some point you're forced into making decisions. The Lakers had to make a tough decision before their last championship, right? Now it was for Anthony Davis. The fish is there, but like they traded away Brandon Ingram, who's obviously a really good player. Lonzo Ball, who was a healthy, good player then. Josh Hart, who was kind of a heart and soul guy that Knicks fans now love. And Julius Randle they moved off of too. Like, that's a lot. But in the end of it all, they win the championship because they got that big fish. So if the right big fish comes along, other than Paolo, you're willing to move anything.
Yeah, you got my wheels turning now. Excited to see how the next couple of weeks play out. Tuck, you've been awesome, as expected. Thanks so much for the time.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. Commercials, ad reads, you want videos that you can post to your social media accounts to help support and promote your business? Authentic Audio Productions can help. Visit us online, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. Please like, rate, review, subscribe. It goes a long way. And if you keep consuming our content, we'll keep cranking them out. Chat soon, Zoneheads.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save